Hi, this is Manada from the Buddhist Center Online at buddhistcenter.com. And we have Chandradasa here with us.
Hello, everybody.
We're in the Araloka Shrine Room for day two of the North American Convention. And Arya Drishti's joined us for an interview and to talk about her Buddhist Center in Portland. So welcome, Arya Drishti.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I had the privilege of visiting your new center. It's been about a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday and leading an evening there, and was so impressed with the Sangha, the engagement, the questions, and just you've been able to create this sense of intimacy. And I just really was struck by the conditions for spiritual friendship that you create, you've developed and really fostered there. And can you just talk more about your vision and really how's it going for you?
I think that it takes a lot of courage to start a center. And one of the things that I found really helpful was my KM Buddhadasa telling me that all you need to do is create the conditions for spiritual friendship. Mm. And so that's what I've tried to focus on, is just creating those conditions, creating the space and an atmosphere of warmth and welcoming.
Yeah, yeah, that was really palpable there. And also you've had a mitra that's asked for ordination recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, actually, Kelly, she'd been part of the San Francisco Sangha and had moved to Portland, Oregon 15 years ago and had been really missing that contact with Tri Ratna. And so when I opened the center, she had made contact through Karuna Devi and has really been a big part of that center.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Nadine also has moved up recently from San Francisco. So there's two full-time mitras at the center and then one mitra, Ben, who comes. He lives part-time in Portland, part-time in San Francisco. So I've got a lot of support.
Yeah, it's been really great to see the progression from how you've started and how it's unfolding. Yeah, can you talk about some of the challenges of running a small center and being the only order member?
I think one of the challenges is time. I think time is the biggest challenge. I have a full-time job, and I actually like to have a lot of time to myself. And so spending more of my free time with more people seems the biggest challenge I personally have had to overcome. Some of the other challenges are really finding materials, like things that I've always taken for granted in other centers and retreat centers that I've been at, where there's a whole library, for instance, of references that you can access. And it's great now online that we have so much that's available. And I draw a lot from Free Buddhist Audio. And also through the BuddhistCenter.com, actually, for materials to let people know what's going on, who we are. Recently, one of the big challenges was try to explain to the IRS what Tri Ratna is, what the Portland Buddhist Center is, in a way that makes sense. Mm. And some of the ways that one of the enlightening things that I've learned was that we tend to kind of talk about who we are in very educational terms. And in order to be given this kind of church nonprofit status, you need to be a religion. And you need to be very clear that you're worshiping, but we have centers and we teach classes. Right. We don't do worship. We don't talk about it being a religion, which was interesting because I feel, you know, quite strongly that it is a religion. But then I was looking for, well, what's our creed? What's our doctrine? How do I explain that to the IRS?
Right. You send them the Heart Sutra.
Exactly.
I had a question for you about Oregon, because some of our listeners, particularly in Europe, most of them probably won't be particularly familiar with Portland, Oregon. Although, being a bit cheeky, they've probably seen Portlandia, which is quite a successful TV show that portrays Portland in a very sort of affectionate way as super trippy, hippie, liberal. What's Portland like? Is it kind of fertile ground for starting a Buddhist center, do you think?
I think it is. And I think that there is, you know, as much as that hippie movement is, there's also dangers in that as well. I mean, I find coming from Canada that Portland is very much like Canada. I think Ananda described it once as the most civilized city in America, which but that's coming from a British perspective, so maybe perhaps more people over there will understand that. As a city, the way that they've been kind of structured is, you know, about 25 years ago or so, you know, Seattle, which is our closest city and almost the same size really, put a lot of money into freeways. Portland put a lot into public transportation. And that really shifted, the culture of that city and the shape of that city. And so like things like bike riding and riding buses, and everything's kind of pointed towards more of a community structure, walkable, livable communities. It's a really big deal. And one of the things, I just saw another article in the New York Times recently about, is Portland where young people go to retire? And I think that, you know, there is definitely a lot of well-educated young people in Portland. And there is, or some people in Portland earn like 84 cents on the dollar compared to other cities, because they're kind of willing to take a lower wage to live in that area with that lifestyle.
Quality of life. Yeah, I had a friend from Portsmouth, I'm sure I live, who, you know, took herself off to live in Portland. It was this kind of beacon of somewhere you go to kind of change your life a bit, or start again, or find a community.
Yes.
And is that happening at the centre? Are you getting a sense that people, it's somewhere where that's likely to take?
I don't know. Maybe more with the Dean. I mean, I feel like the way that I am is much more traditional. I often come to the centre straight from work, so I'm often wearing dressed for an engineering office. Really, and I tend to take, you know, pretty traditional Sangharakshita way of teaching. So I don't know. There's quite a broad spectrum of people who come in terms of age, in terms of gender, in terms of life experience. So it hasn't come to a certain genre yet.
You're brand new, aren't you?
Yeah, and I've really encouraged the mitras and try and make an effort myself to connect with whoever comes, because I don't want a sangha of a bunch of people like me. And sometimes it's more work to connect with someone that you wouldn't naturally do that. But it's, I think that that's sort of happened in that community. I think that's what you witnessed.
Yeah. Speaking of people who come to the center, you've done a lot of creative things like Dharma dog walking and using a meetup group to have people come to the center. Are there any other creative endeavors you've got planned for the
future? What is Dharma dog walking?
It's so cool.
Can you unpack that for us?
Okay, well, that's definitely part of Portland culture, because Portland is also one of the most dog-friendly cities in America. But it really came out of the lack of time. And I have two dogs that I spend all weekend with, and I need to take them for a walk Saturday and Sunday all the time. That's time that I have. So it's just an opportunity to invite people to join me and talk about the Dharma without having to take something else out of my schedule. So it's really very practical.
Brilliant idea.
But it also, there's a number of people who are very attracted to, you know, sharing, walking their dogs and talking about, you know, meaning.
In your meetup group?
And the meetup group was very successful. I actually found out about meetup through Kelly, because when she started coming, and then she started inviting, you know, all these, you know, bright young women, active women were showing up, and they said, we're all Kelly's friends. I said, well, how do you actually know Kelly? And they said, well, we've got this Northwest Women's Hiking Group on meetup. So I said, what's meetup? And so I looked it up, and I thought, well, I could put a group on meetup, and we get more people from meetup than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And that means that also we get a lot of people who are new to Portland and are looking to meet people. So it's actually quite interesting.
God, these are terrific ideas. I'm just listening to this thinking, wow, why, everybody should do this. Meetup groups, Dharma dog walking. It's fantastic.
The other thing that's been really fun is connecting with people who have some connection to Tri Ratna. Like just in the last 2 weeks, this young man, Scott, came who had been involved in New York City with Vajramati about 10 years ago. Another man, Stephen, who had been involved in Auckland, New Zealand in the early 80s, showed up and brought me a picture of him and, you know, the order members that he knew then. So there's just these threads that tend to gather. And then Ryan just showed up from the Dublin Center. So he's just moved to Portland. And he said, this is great. It's just like what we do in Dublin.
Yeah. It's
like, you know,
that's important, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's the sort of thing we talk about here in the abstract, commonality and coherence. But actually, that's what it means. As Ryan from Dublin shows up, or Steve from New Zealand, and it's like they recognize what you're doing.
Yeah. Saluting the shrine. And it's just that beginning. I actually found the same thing when I moved from Melbourne, Australia, and came back and went to the Seattle Center. And, you know, we did the saluting the shrine, and I thought, oh, phew. These are the same people.
Yeah. Can I don't know any of you two about your friendship? I mean, you obviously know each other.
We love each other. How did we meet? Oh, 2008.
We met on a retreat up in Vancouver.
Yeah.
We were roommates.
We were. And that was a retreat where a mouse crawled on my head. Remember?
Oh, yes.
It's a new genre, folks. Retreat horror stories. Yes. Send them in the comments. A mouse crawled on my head.
Yeah, I loved sharing a room with Moni because she's really quiet and went to bed early.
Yeah, so we met in 2008 and formed a friendship and have kept in touch.
We were in a GFR group for a while. Moni hosted at her house.
Yeah, and it's been really great to see the progression of your center, and I've just been impressed with your perseverance. And, you know, in the beginning, she may have no one show up or one person, but it's like, you know, build it and they'll come, and your commitment to just having the center open for people and to see it really starting to pay off is really great.
It is. It's very rewarding.
It's great that you can be here in a way, not just to share it with us on this convention, but to, you know, share it with the world through this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's really delightful to hear. It's really, I mean, I feel completely delighted to hear.
Can I just ask one more thing? Because in the meeting today, you were talking about, I don't know, I just really heard your gratitude for a lot of the resources and the material that we're talking about. And is there anything else that could really help in terms of your center and resources and support?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the order is, you know, bigger than me, and that needs to be communicated to people who come along. And so that visiting order members are really, really crucial. And I've experienced that from the other side, you know, being part of the Vancouver Sangha, for instance, with very small, and having, you know, people coming through and talking. So you get a sense of this, you know, quite powerful, broad movement with so many diverse personalities and, you know, so many different experiences that I can't possibly communicate on my own.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so like when you came and taught, it just brought, you know, it wouldn't have occurred to me to talk about that topic of being and doing. And it was really kind of brought out, I think, different elements in that group of people. So I really appreciate that. And I welcome, you know, other order members to come visit.
Yeah,
so that's the nature of an invitation, if you're listening to this. If you'd like to go to Portland.
Absolutely. Well, there is an interesting factoid. You may know that there's the Portland, Oregon on the west coast and Portland, Maine on the east coast. And the Portland, Maine Center is called Nagaloka. And the Portland, Oregon Center is the Portland Buddhist Center. But we hold our classes at the Naga Center, which is a Thai massage school. And so I feel that some kind of this, like, mirroring of what's going on these two coasts.
Wow. That's great.
So thanks again for joining us. And we're going to have more coming from the convention, and really appreciated you sharing your experience with the Portland Buddhist Center.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can follow us on SoundCloud. You can follow our podcast. Look for the links in the post. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.